Welcome to the Soul Work Podcast, a space where we dive into the journey of reconnecting with our body, our intuition, and our soul's true divine purpose. Each week, we will explore how to heal from within using body-centered wisdom, somatic and holistic healing practices, and engage in soulful healing and transformative conversations that will support you on your path to wholeness. We'll uncover ways to recognize the messages our body sends us, transform old wounds, and step fully into our divine power. So whether you're here to break free from past patterns, build resilience, or simply deepen your self-awareness, this space is dedicated to your growth, your healing, and your unique soul journey. So take a deep inhale and exhale, grab your cup of tea, get settled in, and let's do the soul work together. This is the Soul Work Podcast for your soul's work. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Soul Work Podcast. My name is Love Ashley Elaine, and I'm going to be your guide as we journey through healing and reconnecting with our soul for our soul's purpose. This episode, I'm so excited. I have one of my past coaches on. Her name is Colin. We're talking about imposter syndrome. We've all been there, and if you haven't, you haven't stepped out on faith. I'm just gonna leave that right there. Yes, we're talking about imposter syndrome, what that feels like somatically in our bodies, and how we can do somatic healing work to come back into our true self, to release imposter syndrome, and what exactly imposter syndrome means. So prepare your mind, body, and soul. Grab that cup of tea as we get into this episode. Hello, my divine, beautiful souls. My name is Love Ashley Elaine, and I'm the owner of not just this podcast, but a business named AEI Studios. If you're a high-achieving woman who's feeling disconnected from your true self, seeking healing, or needing clarity and direction, I have something so special for you. Join us for an exclusive one-day retreat called Faith and Vision on December 7th. This is a very transformative experience that is designed to help you restore your vision, connect to your intuition, and realign you with your soul's purpose. So just imagine spending a whole day in a supportive environment with like-minded women, engaging in some vision coaching. We're going to share some really practical tools on just creating that internal vision board, right? We're not going to do the cutting out of pictures and all of that. We want to get real practical with how we create our life's purpose, or how we step into it, how we really create the life that we keep seeing flash in our mind, right? We're going to do some restorative and yin yoga, some guided meditations, and really connect with other like-minded women. The goal here is to really restore your vision, restore your connection to your intuition, and just invite in some beautiful holistic healing, some beautiful community, and some really good, juicy information on really tapping into your vision. What does that look like? What is your vision for your life? What is your vision for your soul business? Whether you're navigating life challenges, seeking some holistic healing, or deepening your spiritual practices, faith and vision is the perfect space for you. I will say spaces are limited, so to ensure that you are a part of this intimate and very personalized experience, make sure you drop into the show notes, click on that link, and go ahead and register today. We are requiring some questions that need to be answered and a Zoom call with me one-on-one, just to make sure that we're a great fit, okay? I don't want anybody there that's not ready or feels intimidated, or, you know, we want to make sure that the room is filled with really good people, really like-minded people, and people, women, yes, that are moving in the same direction, on the same path, and ready to do the work. There are only 10 spots, so I would jump on this quickly. If this resonates with you, like I said, go into the show notes, complete the questionnaire on the next page and schedule your chat with me. I cannot wait to share this transformative journey with you. I will see you on December 7th. And welcome back to the Soul Work Podcast. So, Colin, you're actually my first guest on my new name change, new podcast thing. So, welcome. It was such a strategic move because everything I talk about is soul work, and it makes everything just easier to streamline, and people know what I'm about. People know what I do. They know when they see Ashley on the screen, hopefully on TV one day, this is what she's talking about. So yes, welcome back to the Soul Work Podcast. I am so excited to introduce my coach, one of my amazing coaches. Her name is Colin. She is the CEO, the owner and CEO of Friction Yoga and Coaching, a company dedicated to empowering individuals to discover their soul's purpose, hello, through holistic healing and self-actualization. With over 25 years in the yoga community and 11 years of teaching, Colin blends her deep medical knowledge from her 17 years as an ER nurse with her understanding that yoga is not just a practice, it's a science. I be trying to tell y'all, but nobody wants to hear me, so thank you for saying this also. Her work emphasizes the importance of functional yoga, trauma-informed teaching, and inclusive spaces, ensuring that yoga is accessible to everybody, regardless of body type, age, or background. As a queer woman, Colin is passionate about creating body-friendly and queer-friendly environments that embrace the unique journey of every individual. Through her offerings, she that include 200-hour and 300-hour yoga teacher trainings and specialty YACEP programs like Yin, Invoking the Goddess, and Awakening the Chakras, Colin supports people in finding their authentic selves. Her approach encourages clients to tap into their personal power, using the experience around them to achieve self-actualization. And she actually does all of this, guys. Please give a nice healing welcome to Colin. Hi.
Hi, love. Thanks so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Yay. So excited. So first off, you said 17 years as an ER nurse, and you transitioned into the yoga and holistic healing world. What was that transition like, 17 years in ER, and then, oh, I'm going to be a yoga teacher?
Yeah, so, okay, I found yoga at the same time as I became a nurse and a mom, like all at the same time. I was living in British Columbia, Canada, like in northern BC. So there's no yoga, but I found like a video, a VHS cassette tape in the local grocery store of Rodney Yee. And I took it home. I tried it. He's like the original inventor of power yoga, which was not like this fast-paced, crazy, like breathe really hard kind of thing that it is now. It was hatha yoga, holding the positions for long, long, long amounts of time. And so I loved it because it was hard. But the teachings are very Iyengar based. So alignment is such a focus. And there was so many spiritual teachings that were very grounded at the same time. And I just loved it. It was like I found peace while becoming a brand new mom and moving into, at the time, it was like something called homemaking, which meant I went to people's homes. I cleaned their house. I like took them shopping. I did stuff like that. And then eventually made my way into an ER nurse. Did yoga the whole time. Eventually loved the ER and trauma and literally blood and guts so much that I wanted to have trauma all the time. And so I convinced my family to move to the city so that I could work in a trauma center.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You definitely need yoga for that.
No, totally, right? Eventually it was like, okay, I need to become a teacher because I want to know the poses better, which was my original idea. And I had already been a student for about 14 years at that time. So taking teacher training, and I remember I went in my very first day, I'm like, listen, I'm not here to be a teacher. I have a career. I'm good. Like, I actually had yoga teacher training and med school begin. Yoga teacher training started Friday to Sunday, and my first day of med school started on Monday. I tried to get out of teacher training, but they told me they wouldn't reimburse me, and I'd already paid in full. So I thought, well, I guess I'll do both. And I did a four-month part-time teacher training. And over those 4 months, I knew I was burnt out. I'd made a mistake. I didn't want to go in any further into the medical field at all. And now I was finding like holistic healing within the teachings. What?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So yeah. I guess medical school was like, it was out.
Well, you know, unfortunately, I had already paid for it and I had a big line of credit, which, you know, I still pay on. It's just under $73,000 right now left owing. So, you know, that was like so many years ago. But I couldn't just quit. Like, it was like, oh, I found yoga and now I'm a teacher and I'm just going to quit. Like, my family would never put up with that. It was a $200,000 debt on nothing if I quit. So I kept up images for about 2 years. I continued to go to med school. I ended up doing dissections and I was a medical student in the hospital, the emergency room that I worked in. I became a medical student in that ER. And I mean, I loved it and I didn't. I was already so burnt out, and in burnout, it was just like compassion fatigue. So here I am now, all of a sudden not able to nurse. Which is really like, nurses keep you from dying. Doctors just give you diagnoses and medication. Any doctors listening, listen, we can argue later. But like, sorry. Now all of a sudden I couldn't be a nurse anymore. I was doctoring. It was 10 times worse. I hated it. And I decided like, I can't keep doing this. But at the same time, I was teaching. Let's use fibromyalgia as an example. You know, in the hospital, I was running into a lot of patients with fibromyalgia asking for medication and actually not showing up as the kindest person I ever could be. And literally just thought, like, what more can I give these people? Because they were constantly like saying, I'm not fixing them. And here in a yoga class, I would have someone come to me after class and say, I have fibromyalgia. What can I do to help myself? And that was like a defining moment for me when I said, I can't keep doing this. Like, I'm so unkind in one vein. And in the other vein, people are like looking to heal themselves, not have me heal them, which I cannot do. And that's when I really decided, like, this is what I'm doing. I need to leave the medical field and I need to pass on these teachings full time.
That's so deep, because we talk about systems, right? And this can go left and be a completely different podcast episode. But we're talking about the difference between people relying on a system to heal them and people being, and I'm using air quotes for the word desperate, right? But getting to a point where it's like, okay, you know what? Like, I need something that's going to help me, and going into, you know, that journey of finding it for themselves. Oh, that's so powerful. Ooh, I had chills when you said, like, just the example of the patient, like the avatar of, you know, someone having fibromyalgia, right? Pick any dis-ease, pick any disease, and bring them to a doctor. This is what they're going to say. Bring them to a yoga teacher or, you know, something in a holistic realm, and this is what will happen. You're going to see two different results. You're going to literally bring out a different version of that person, right? One healer is bringing out a version of, well, you do it. Like, give me something that I can take, recommend something that I can take, give me a pill that I can take. Whereas like the other healer is empowering that person, helping them find something, find what is it in their body that they can connect to and be like, ah, that's where I feel it here. That's where I feel it here. And now there's like all these emotional layers coming up. Ooh, I love it. I love it. Yeah, that's so powerful.
Throughout that end time of like, what do? I remember specifically a patient that came in and it's just what we do in nursing. It's like you eat your young, they talk about all the time. It's like burnt out people are teaching like new people just how to be burnt out. So I come on shift and they're like, oh, go discharge the woman in 12. And so I walk in just like, okay, let me take out your IV, like, see you later. And I mean, this woman is irate. She is not going anywhere. She has not been taken care of. Like, it goes in deep. And she starts saying, listen, I have been vomiting nonstop for 6 weeks. I've been here almost every day in those last 6 weeks. I have 4 kids. I have this, I have that. And I mean, she went on and on and on and on. And she said, and I have done every test under the book, and you people can't figure out what's wrong with me. And so I'm like, okay, just let me see what's going on. So I leave and I go back and the doctor says, like, literally, she has literally had every test under the sun. And so I come back and I'm like, listen, I'm in my yoga teacher training, right? What else is going on in your life? Nobody had asked her. And she starts telling me about how she's caring for her father, and the Ministry of Family and Children are wanting to, they're investigating her because her kids are making claims that the grandfather is molesting them. Like, this woman just brought out so much. It was like, well, you can't stomach something. Clearly, you've got a lot going on. I don't need a test to figure out why you can't stop vomiting. So I very kindly started to convey this to her. And judgment-wise, I figured her socioeconomic status was a little bit lower. She wasn't dressed very nice. She wasn't very clean. You know, she had ripped clothes and just decided that, you know what, her space, like, she wasn't someone that would go to yoga. So her mindset wasn't open to what I had to say next, which was, oh, babe, like, no wonder. Look at what you're going through. And she took it as something derogatory and just went off about talking to a brick wall and how the system is just failing. It's like, yeah, it is. But like, if you would kick your dad out, you know, like, and save your children and maybe some other things, like, it wouldn't be a problem. So even the mindset of people that come to yoga is more open to holistic healing and healing oneself than people stuck in the system.
Yeah.
And I really noticed that. And I was so done by then that I just needed to remove myself from this bubble and insert myself into this bubble. And that was where I started with like ideal client. Oh my goodness. I want someone who wants to heal themselves, not have me heal them.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Oh, oh, there's so much juice in
this. I know. I can always come back.
There's so much juice because even like ideal client and what that looks like. Oh, so much juice. So in this transition, right? And I know like with clients, even just in like coaching, we've talked about imposter syndrome. And even for myself, like transitioning from making a career transition or even like bouncing around in a career and trying to find, you know, that staple point, right? There, like that can come up a lot. And sometimes I don't know if we even realize it's coming up. What has been your experience with imposter syndrome? Did you like, were you feeling it in those 17 years? Were you feeling it in that transition?
You know, like, I'm going to preface with this. I heard my coach the other day say that, you know, you're truly on the path when you can no longer see the path ahead of you. And that almost made me angry, because for my entire life, I've had a plan and I've had a path and I've executed it, and it has been incredibly abundant up until about a year and a half ago, when I no longer knew where to go and felt like I had made a wrong turn and then no longer could see the path ahead of me. It's like, imposter syndrome, I think, will kick in whenever I give it a chance to.
Yeah.
Because as a nurse, I never felt like an imposter. I loved nursing until I hated it. And then I knew I didn't need to be in it anymore. And I thought the only direction I could go was med school. I mean, what else could I be but a doctor? I've spent all my life doing this. And then I realize I'm a teacher. And that's my dharma, is to teach. And so the transition was pretty okay until I started coaching. Like, people were coming to me for advice. And I'm like, I'm the heaviest I've ever been. Sure, I've got money, a brand new pickup, a beautiful home, you know, kids, a partner, but I'm so miserable. And you want me to teach you? Like, yeah, I've got all the answers, but I'm clearly not applying it because I don't want to leave my partner of 11 years. That just seems really scary. So the imposter syndrome would come out when people would look to me for advice or say something like, you know, I was their teacher, I was their guru, or whatever word they would insert to put me on a pedestal. And my I'm allowed to swear? Am I allowed to swear? Like, I'm fucked up. So for you to think that I have my shit together. And for me to know that I don't, that's when imposter syndrome would really come in. Like, who am I to tell anybody anything? Because I'm just sitting here like a liar.
Yeah. And that's it's so, like, it's hard for people that are in a, that are natural born leaders to think that they have to, like, and I'm going to insert myself, right, to, for us to feel like we have to have like every I dotted, every T crossed. Our life has to be spick and span, sparkling, clean. And it's like, well, that's actually what makes us qualified. Is that it's not like that, right? It's it's we've actually had to look at our mess a lot deeper. And the reason why it feels like we're not qualified is because we're so aware of the mess. We're so like, we're not okay with it, but we're willing to figure it out, right? As I was doing the intro for this, I was like setting up the audio earlier. It just like slipped out my mouth that if anybody has says that they've never experienced imposter syndrome, they haven't stepped out on faith. There's a certain level of, and I love how you said your coach even told you as of recent that, like, you know, you're on the right path when you don't know what's happening. And as scary as that is, that's what it is, right? So even now, like, with making all these changes and trying to adjust, and they now feel good, they now feel in alignment with me and what I'm supposed to be doing or how it's supposed to be packaged, right? It's like, ooh, but like, I'm having like these issues with, like, you know, family stuff. Am I qualified to even do this? Like, or I keep changing this and that and this and that. Am I qualified to even coach people through vision and like helping them discover their purpose? Like all of that. And it's like, no, I am. And then like I go back and forth, right? How can somebody like even identify that they're, that like imposter syndrome is either trying to creep up or that it's even keeping them from moving forward or stepping out on faith?
Yeah, I love that. So all the time for most people, there's something going around in your head. It's your voice, right? The the default mode network is what they call it in like neuroscience. And the default mode network is constantly seeking out any situation in which you could get into trouble or die, right? And it doesn't know the difference between real or imagined. It just knows, like, don't be friends with this person because they might not like you. And if they don't like you, then you could die, right? Because of old school programming, or let's just say your nervous system in general, is so ancient that it's created, like, we're talking caveman days. There's no language, and there's definitely not degrees. So when you're in survival mode, which is pretty much 80% of the time right now, if you don't practice yoga, if you do practice yoga, if you don't practice yoga, you're probably in fight or flight 100% of the time. Why? Because we live in a capitalistic environment where, you know, the strongest or the fittest are the richest, supposed. And we don't know that to be true or not. All we know is we're inundated constantly about how we're not enough. And that's like our core thought too. It's like, I'm not enough. You're three, something happened. You drew a picture. You went out of the lines. You shared it with your parents. You found it in the garbage, you know, the next day, but you spent 3 hours creating it and you realize, like, I'm not enough. I need to do more. I need to do more. I need to do more. So we kind of by default are in imposter syndrome because it's like, what can I do to get love? And what that does is fragments us from our soul, from our true selves. Our true selves are, we are so encompassed by love, we don't need to do anything. So the minute we start acting from a place of like, what can I do to get love from somebody else without even realizing it, we're being inauthentic. And we'll automatically fall into imposter syndrome, right? The other day on Instagram, I shared that post. It's there. Usually people present with like three different versions of self. We've got like the private self that your friends and your family know. We've got the public self. So how you behave when you go out in public, and then the business self, which is just like, I need to be so prim and proper, where someone would never admit the skeletons they have in their closet. Which is really what makes us connect, right? Like, how am I going to coach someone with an eating disorder to move away from that addiction if I myself have never had an eating disorder?
Right.
Of course, I'm going to feel a lot of imposter syndrome. I'm not saying it can't be done, but if I'm doing it and not admitting to my own eating disorder, and the fact that eating disorders don't just go away because you took some therapy, and the fact that you're therapizing others while you're still battling your own addiction, as opposed to being like, I'm over it, I'm good, I don't have an eating disorder anymore, you're lying.
Yeah,
that's something you battle every single day. So tell people, let people know. And today I ate, and today I didn't purge, right? When you say I'm still struggling with it, or I went all day yesterday without eating, then people can trust you. They can connect to you. And so we have to be authentic as well. Yet there's that default mode network that's like, don't be vulnerable. Don't be vulnerable, because then you could die. So we're like in a constant loop of really imposter syndrome, which is incredibly amazing. And really shitty at the same time.
Because it's such a dance of like, do I want to tell the truth today? Do I not? Do I want to share this? Do I not? Do I want to be vulnerable? Do I not? And not tell the truth in the sense of, oh, I'm just going to lie and say things that aren't true, right? But just not open up the door to what the truth is. And I always say, when we're able to be vulnerable first with self, we allow ourselves the space to then begin to be vulnerable with other people. And it's not like everybody has to get on social media and be like, I've got this going on, right? If it starts with just like one person and then opening up from there and opening up from there, and then maybe it's now you're with a coach, right? Or even in therapy. I love the posts where it's like, in order for therapy to work, you have to tell the truth.
Right?
Yeah. So, and then my therapist, I'm just like, hey, am I telling you too much? It's like, girl, no. You're what we dream of. Just like, thank you. But yeah. It's like, if vulnerability could be seen as a superpower instead of the thing that will kill us, I wonder how much more freedom people would experience. I wonder what mask would be taken off and what social media would actually look like. Or just the people that you're in relationship with, right? Like distant relationship, close relationship, whatever that is, right? Oh, man. So when we talk about imposter syndrome and the whole thought process and like that dance and all I see is like a hamster on a wheel, what are tips that you would recommend for people to get back, like get in their body first if they've never started, right? They're listening to this and they're like, that sounds like something I'm struggling with. They probably turned it off and turned it back on. But like, what is something that they can start to do to like begin kind of like working through it? And then something that is a very holistic practice that they can kind of keep going back to.
Yes, I'll share my experience on this because I think it really started. I became like a Tony Robbins fanatic. We'd go do like VIP sessions and sit up front. And it was a really hard time in my life where I was resetting. And I didn't want to let anyone know. I didn't want anyone to see me vulnerable because I felt I had always portrayed a really strong woman for so long. And my kids had moved out. You know, I had changed my entire profession from a nurse and then quit med school into teaching yoga full time and then coaching. I had totally run into imposter syndrome and started letting all of my clients, as we finished our packages, I wasn't like re-signing them. And so I was in a pretty vulnerable space. I felt like mush. And I remember when I would go to these seminars, Tony Robbins would say, like, find a mentor. And so I would reach out to these people, but they always wanted more money. You know, $700 for this program or this. And it was like, but I have no money. Like, there's nothing left here. I don't know what to do, which essentially brought me to a place of surrender, which was exactly where I needed to go. But I didn't know it. And I fought it really, really hard for a very long time. But in that time, you know, I started guest teaching for other teacher trainings. And these seminars, a lot of the practice was like being open about your deepest, darkest secrets. And of course, for me, I started with some very simple stuff. They were not my deepest, darkest secrets, but I would share, like when my daughter was very young, she used to scream in the middle of the night and she would just do that. And it just was what it was. And I was used to it. But when we would be out in public, like let's say a hotel or spending the night at a friend's, it'd be screaming at 2 a.m. What am I supposed to do? So I'd cover her mouth. And I carried an incredible amount of guilt about it and thought it was like the worst thing I ever could do. I also was 23 years old. I had 2 children. I was going to school on my own full time and I had a full time job, homemaking. And so, and we had a farm and my husband was always gone out either drinking or in camp. So I had a lot on my plate. I can forgive myself now, but for so long, keeping it secret, I just used it as a way to beat myself up for a really long time. And nobody knew what a piece of crap I was because of what I did to my daughter. So that's what I shared. And what happened was I didn't die. So it's really
still
about
here in the flesh.
Right? It's about rewiring your nervous system. So that wasn't my darkest secret, you know, and I have done this work so much that I'm going to share my darkest secrets on a podcast of however many people are going to hear it. But there was so much more behind that. And so it was like first to admit this to a group of people was very scary. And then the next thing I know, I'm in a situation where I need to admit it to a group of people again. And I kept not dying. And people didn't like hate me. And people would even share stories where something similar would happen, or they had guilt about this as a mom, or they had guilt about that, which allowed me to open up and be like, okay, what I'm not really telling people is that at some point I had an abortion, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's such a charged controversy. I'm yeah. such a bad person for what I did. Yet the situation that I was in, I really do believe it was the best choice.
Yeah.
Right? Do I need to share details? No. Because either you think something's right or wrong. You mm-hmm. don't just make concessions for people, like, right? And then it's really funny how the human psyche works with, like, okay, well, it's okay because you're my friend, or it's okay because of these situations. No, mm-hmm. it's just what happened. And so I started sharing that. And I didn't die. Right. Yeah. And then, to be honest, like, that was the darkest secret that I had in my closet. And I had shared so many of these secrets that I hadn't told people. Like, I used to cheat. I have cheated on almost every single one of my partners that I've ever been with. And mm-hmm. I don't want people to think what a terrible person I am, because I was a people pleaser, never told someone I'm done, and instead found the attention I was looking for in someone else.
Right.
Right. So by sharing these things, guess what? First of all, I didn't die. I just told you like three of my deepest, darkest secrets, and I didn't yeah. die. And I've actually forgiven myself for all of these situations by looking at them in many different ways, whatever, not justifying, just being like, those are the choices that I made with where I was at the time, and I'm okay. And it says nothing about my character.
Yeah.
Because who determines character, right? And then yoga, like the principles of yoga, the truth will set you free. So what's happened is this rewiring of the nervous system, not dying. And then I started to learn about somatic therapy, moving, shaking, dancing. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, at this time when everything, when I was this piece of jello, was also when I was on an ayahuasca retreat for 2 weeks. So it was like the medicine also kind of forced my body to shake after going through experiences in my mind. And I learned, oh, wow, okay, this is what I need to do to let go of the emotions that I'm holding on to in my body based on storing trauma over not dealing with these situations, over hiding them from people for all these years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it wasn't a big deal. And all of a sudden I'm not a terrible, crappy, worst person in the whole entire world. And I'm okay. Which allows me to then be honest in the moment with people. Do you want to do this? No. And no is a full sentence. So I don't really have to say anything else to that. And that's okay. And you'll either accept it or not. And that's okay too.
Yeah. Whew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. And it's like every time you let loose just a little bit, it's just like like hiding to see what happens.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm here. And I love how you kept saying, I didn't die, right? But what did die was the ego death, right? Of like believing that I had to hide these things. I had to scurry these things. I had to keep these things to myself. I had to pretend like they didn't happen, even like they're sitting in the back of my head. I had to like you're still breathing, but what did die was what needed to, right? When we talk about ego, how much of ego plays into imposter syndrome?
I mean, like all of it.
Just like every piece of it.
All of it. You know, the more that I show up, and now you know mm-hmm. about me. You know some of the deepest things. I mean, I could add a couple things, but they're not going to be much crazier than some of the things I've already shared. Yeah. When, if you now think like, I cannot listen to this person because she is a human and she just shared her darkest secrets, well, that's okay. You're not my person and that's okay. What it does is connects us to like, oh, I've been hiding the fact that I had an abortion when I was 18 my whole entire life because of my Catholic family and this and what other people are going to think of me. And that's what creates inauthenticity. Because at the subconscious level, we already know each other. So if you're not telling me something and we enter into relationship, whatever that looks like, coach, a student, teacher, partner, family member, I already know we're entering and there's something that you're omitting. So I can't trust you. I can't fully feel safe with you. And to be honest, you can't with me, no matter what I've shared, because you haven't been honest.
Yeah.
You're protected. There's something still up. So of course, I'm not going to trust you because there's something that I know you're not telling me. You're not going to trust me because you haven't gone to the deepest depths of your soul and then shared that with others.
Yeah.
So we continue to play this game of judgment. Okay, you're terrible. Once a cheater, always a cheater. What does that even mean?
Right.
To me now, when someone says that, you know, oh my gosh, blah, 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 cheated on, blah, 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 all I can think is like, man, that person must have been so unhappy and probably afraid to share their experience with their partner. And so instead went out looking for love somewhere else. And probably doesn't even love themselves because they're in the situation in the first place. Mm-hmm. So like, what can we do? We can share our deepest secrets. I think in a safe place, definitely, right off the bat, a therapist, great, right? A coach, a teacher, maybe then with our partner if it's a safe space. But then, and the next part is to really start creating self-care and self-love rituals so that you're actually able to forgive yourself when these emotions come up. Because if you're not able, which is what I kind of felt in the beginning, it made me even more jello-y, more like raw and vulnerable to share some of this stuff, is that some of these practices weren't being taught as tools to deal with the fallout of going into that situation that I'm hiding so deeply. And when I learned like Ho'oponopono and like I love you type meditations, then I was able to allow those to come up to be like, I'm, this doesn't mean anything different about me. And I can forgive myself for this. I can see why. I mean, I was young. There was situations and this is the outcome of those situations. And I didn't die, but I'm also not like the worst person in the world for doing those things.
Right.
I can compare. I don't think comparison is helpful because there's always someone better, always someone worse. But I can compare myself now to myself then. And myself now, I do this in like the business of yoga, right? Two circles. Where are you now? And where do you want to go?
I did this with you.
Right? And then below that is like, okay, so when you are where you are now, who are you? And one of the things that I know that I have, you know, recovering addict of people pleasing, which has gotten me into some really crazy situations, very dramatic, trying not to be drama, but having nothing but drama because I'm not being honest.
Yeah.
And then where I want to be, who I need to be where I want to be, and where I want to be, a people pleaser is not going to make it because a people pleaser won't have like these intensely successful businesses, right? And successful means not just like bringing in a lot of money, but also being able to save that money and not just spend it, right?
Yeah.
Because if we're not healed in ourselves, our worth is still going to be like, even if you're making 50K, you can spend 60. And another deep, dark secret I didn't want to share with people.
Yeah.
Because my value of myself is so low that as soon as money comes, I'm just like spending it or giving it or helping other people and in a shittier situation myself. So there's a lot of healing that has to take place in order to move. That's like the place in between the two circles, right? What needs to shift in order for me to go from here to here? And then how do I show up? So now, and this is, I have my partner, the one, right? My Shiva. in which we are practicing, like, even little places where we people please each other, and how then that turns into like a fight or something later, or resentment, instead of just saying no, or I need some help here, or could you do this, please, or I don't like that. And it's hard, but it's not hard for very long, because it's just a new practice.
It's like the initial, it's like to get started, and I think the hardest part from my experience is like naming it and saying it out loud, and then feeling it, like literally feeling it in your body. What the, like, it's cringy to say out loud, like, here, dark, deep, dark secret, like, money issues, right? Like, I had someone on in October, I had someone on, and she came and talked about healing money trauma. And I told her, I said, there were these moments where I always felt like the minute I had money, it was like, okay, how fast can we spend it? Like, and I'm not going to a strip club. I'm not spending it on drugs and alcohol. You know what I'm saying? It was like, I just want to spend it. Like, so it's cringy to have to say it out loud, because you already know it. You already know it. It sits with you. It walks with you. It's in every conversation with you. You already know it. But it's when we allow ourselves to drop the mask and drop into what this actually is, do we find that freedom? Do we find that healing? Do we find that newness? Do we actually create the opening for what it is that we want, right? Because I believe if we're given a vision, if we're given a desire, that means it's possible for us, but there's still like a version of us, or there's parts of us that we can't take into that vision, right? So if my vision for myself is to make 10K a month, it's like, oh, we gotta heal this money thing, right? Because if I bring you 10K a month now, you won't have it.
Yep.
You'll have all the things you want. But what you really want the 10K a month for, you won't have, because you haven't healed the money trauma. Right. Where it comes from, the scarcity issues you grew up in. Right. The where you couldn't buy what you wanted for yourself, but you went to school and saw everybody else wearing the Melissas and the Tommy Hill figure and the FUBU and the baby fat. Like, I still want that baby fat bomber jacket. Right. So I love that you said, like, there is no room for comparison. And I think as we say yes to like the cringe of doing the work, we can move through that imposture of who we believe we were or believe we are, and allow the darkness to transform us and come into the light of what, you know, of what it is, and be like, okay, no, I'm still here. I'm still here, but I've shifted. I can walk a little taller, because that thing isn't weighing me down, and it's going to make me feel lighter, it's going to make me look lighter, and it's going to make my light lighter. So I love that. I had a question and it fleeted.
Think of it, that thing that you're talking about, that's there, that's like essentially the same thing as imposter syndrome. Because even if, when you're bringing in 10K a month, there is going to be a part of you saying, like, listen, nobody knows. Listen, Clint, nobody knows that you cheated on almost every partner you ever had, and that you've had an abortion, and that you used to like shut your daughter up when she screamed in the middle of the night when you were in a public place. So you are a piece of crap and nobody knows. So that's why, because I'm still the, you know, 6-year-old that didn't have the LA Gear, you know, high top sneakers that Reagan had. I'm still that person, and you don't even know. You think I am, and I've had so many people do this, like, think I have my shit together, or think that, I mean, they put me on a pedestal, and I'll even say don't, and they still do, because the teachings, I understand. No, I can't say I understand. I teach them very well. I've learned them over and over again. And then I know them so well, I don't need a PowerPoint. I don't need anything. I can stand in front of so many people, and whatever you give me a subject to talk on, I can talk on it because I have learned this stuff for years. Yeah. The embodiment of it, though, is the cringe part.
Mm-hmm.
That's the work. As an ER nurse, it's easy to not have emotions because I can't. Because can you imagine, you know, if someone comes in with whatever situation holding their baby in front of me and I'm like, oh my God. It's, you know, whatever. It's really sick. Oh, what are we going to do? Like, in that profession, I'm just like, I'm awesome because I have absolutely no emotion. In this profession, I can't do that because then I'm inauthentic. I have to do this work. And it never fucking stops. Just when I think, oh,
like, I can relax.
God's like, what? No.
Hello. Do you know who I am? There is more. Like,
and you know, I think that we, those of us, even people listening to this podcast, people coming to yoga, we are the generational change makers, right?
Yeah.
The trauma will continue to go through the family line until someone is born with the capability for change. It's hard. We're suffering. Many days I don't want to walk this road. And a lot of the time I think like life would be so much better if I wasn't alive. And then other days it's amazing. And I'm so glad I'm here and I know I'm doing the work. So it's not an easy path.
Mm-mm.
But it's a path that I don't want to pass on to my kids.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do the work. So if you're going through this, it's because you can, right? Like God never gives you more than what you can handle. Mm-hmm. And some of those days I'm like, I can't handle this. What are you thinking? But I don't die.
Right.
And I keep going. And then sometimes, you know, it's a shiny, beautiful day and I'm really glad to be here. And so I just want to also say that, like, on these hard days, sure, we want to give up. It feels like that would be the easier thing, but it will just continue. This pain, if we don't move through it, it'll just keep happening to those that we love, passing it on.
Yeah. And you've done a beautiful job. Sari is one of my favorite people. I love just even like meeting, like when I met her in coaching and then just seeing her shift. I feel like that was last year. That was like a couple months ago. it was this year.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It's been beautiful to, I mean, even just seeing your growth, right? I always say that if my therapist doesn't have a therapist, if my coach doesn't have a coach, my pastor doesn't have a pastor, like, we do not hold all the answers, and we can meet people, like we meet people where we are. And I believe that I want to meet the grandest of that person because I've met the grandest of my person and still knowing that there's more work to do. Right. So I'm thankful for your growth and your yes to all the dark and icky stuff. That you threw all that shit in the fire and said, transmute, please.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for the coaching that you do, the space that you've held for me. Colin was helping me like move through Cambodia. I actually met her when still haven't met in person. A lot of people I've been super close to the last 2 years have not met in person at all.
Same.
Like most of them. But I was in Cambodia and connected with a previous teacher from my Yin Sir in Costa Rica. And she sent me Colin's information and we got to chat in and I got into her coaching program. She gave me a beautiful, beautiful space to be a part of it. And when I tell you it was like what I needed while I was in Cambodia, I'm now coming to a space where I was like, where I'm like, oh, like everything is starting to integrate. So, yeah, thank you for just the work that you do. It is an honor to know you, to be a part of your orbit. You're welcome back anytime. I'm sure I'm going to have more questions because every time I do this, it's just like, oh, I've got more. But it's the ego death is hard. And I like there's a person that we want to show the world. And then there's a person that God created us to be. And that's the person that is meant to call, like that we want to call forth, right? It's not pretending like we don't go through things. And I think even being a coach or being in a leadership role, like I said earlier, people have to also, I mean, and I guess that will not be our client, right? Is like the people who want us to be so perfect and pretend like there's nothing wrong. And it's like, no, like I actually value, you know, a coach who's not afraid to be like, so I quit my job and spent last month's rent money on creating this coaching program, and this is my journey, right? Like taking it's a big risk to say I'm ready to do the work. It's hard. It is a big risk, and it's hard because you don't know how many people you're about to lose. You don't know how your life is going to change. You don't know what's going to change, where you're going to end up. Like, you just don't know. So to walk a path that is unfamiliar is very, very hard, yet so rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and to be honest, to like have Elon Musk as a business coach, like, I get that he came from, like, he was broke when he was a kid, but he sold PayPal for like $12 million. So him as a coach is going to tell me to do this and hire this and spend money on this. And it's like, no, how am I going to come to a place of Elon Musk? But to understand that the person that I want to work with is someone that comes from a place of being at zero and working their way up. This is where I'm heading with my marketing now, is I'm actually going to put one out there that's like, why my competition is smarter than me, because they gaslight you, right? Because to have somebody tell me like, I'm a millionaire and I live in Bali and I do all this and my team does everything, I don't have to do anything and I'm going to go surfing today. It's like, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when things don't pan out for me because you made $1 million during the pandemic, when I don't have the same success she does, tells me that it's because I didn't have the right energy. Mm-hmm. You know, I would rather work with someone who is working their way from the ground up and putting their rent money on their course launch rather than, you know, gaslighting me about how I'm not doing enough.
Yeah.
So also authenticity is really important. The Bali person, I'm like, great, cool, keep doing your thing, and you help all the other people over here, you know, that aren't millionaires, to just have a passive launch and make money doing nothing all day long, which also is another thing. I'm not going to get into it, but like, for you to be setting yourself up to have a passive income so that you don't have to work, first of all, what are you going to do? And second of all, you're in the wrong line of work. I'll stop.
Oh, Colin, thank you so, so much for this fruitful conversation. Literally from beginning to end, I was like, ooh, we're talking about like the government and systems and stuff. This can go left very quickly. Wow. They might shut me down, and that's okay. That means I made it.
Yeah, exactly. Thank
you. Any final thoughts? Yeah. Anything lasting with the people? Any final thoughts?
No, I just really think like, stick with the fact that I don't think we would choose an easy path.
Yeah.
Because how would we grow or evolve? And I do need to remind myself that sometimes, because I want the easy path, but then I know that that's my ego.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep going. I do have the offer for the chakra PDF, which I'd love to share with everybody, that I think is really helpful for just getting your energy balanced, because it's really important we come out of fight or flight before we start trying to sell things to other people. or trying to move on to the next level, because so much of our energy is going to fight or flight. Let's calm our nervous systems down. So the chakra PDF was like, it took me a long time and a lot of like, just so much love went into that to help people balance so that you can come to a place of almost like neutral. And neutral is a much better place to heal, to launch, to make decisions from. So I just wanted to gift that to everybody in your community and yourself. And thank you so much for having me here, babe.
Of course. Yes, you will find the link to the chakra PDF in the show notes. And if you're watching on YouTube, it will be in the show notes there too. Yes, thank you so much, Colin. And we will be right back. Nice big inhale and exhale. That was such a fun conversation. Colin is just amazing. I'm so grateful that I was able to connect with her, meet with her. She's a wonderful coach. There's something really special about this work that we do. Not just in the leadership space of being New Earth leaders. I don't even want to say healers, because we don't do the healing. When we come into our own authenticity and allow for ourselves to be vulnerable with self, people appreciate that. People see that and they want to be a part of it. They honor it. They treasure it. It's sacred. And it gives them permission to be. It gives them permission to see themselves in a way that other people may not have given them permission to see themselves, right? To really allow ourselves to be honest with self. I think that is the most important thing before you can be honest with anybody else, before you can step into work that is going to call you to create spaces for other people to do their healing work, right? We are all mirrors of one another, and many are called, but few are chosen. Right. So when we're chosen to be reflective, to be a reflective space for other people, it comes with a lot. So I hope that this episode has shined some light on just vulnerability with self, and to work through those somatic moments of when imposter syndrome tries to creep in or when it shows up. Moving in a space of alignment means being real with ourselves. It means dropping the image that we're putting out there and being honest and integral with, what am I truly feeling? What is actually coming up for me? And then how do I transmute that into what is going to allow me to tap into my soul and do and live from there, right? Be in that space and do from that space so that I can have what that space has already put in place for me. I love you all for free. Until next time.